Now have a chat to one of our favourites here on the Breakfast Club when John Hastings is on. It's summertime and everyone's happy and up and about, and I'm sure he is as well. Duke, good morning. Welcome back to the Breakfast Club.
Morning, Maisie. Morning, Scotty. Morning, listeners. I'm pumped to be back. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I'm sure it's been a long year in your life, John. Not a great time to open a gym and a cafe in the last couple of years.
No, we just wanted to make sure we were very resilient in our business structure to try and get through a pandemic, Maisie. So,
how has it been?
Easy. Yeah, it's been tough. I probably actually didn't realise how tough it's actually been until I was driving to the gym at 4:30 a.m. on last Monday morning, and I sort of had this massive smile on my face and I was ready to go, and it just felt like the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders. So, mate, it was a really, really tough period. Obviously, we only started strong down in Mornington on January 18. So, you know, we had that 8-week run at it, got locked down, then we had 15 days back open, and then we went into, obviously, you know, lockdown 2.0. So, geez, it's been hard, but everyone's in the same boat. And we got through okay, and the classes have been all right this week and last.
Now, I think the equipment at your place is worth a lot, which is part of the feature of Strong.
It's the selling point.
Now, we know at footy clubs, Haysto, everyone just raided the gym as lockdown was announced. You couldn't sneak one of the machines home, could you, in the ute or whatever? It'd be a big machine to sort of smuggle home for 6 months and work out at home.
Maisie, you're right. It's they weigh about 300 kilos, these things. They came in a 40-foot container, and we sort of scratched our heads and thought, how are we going to get these out? But we had to get about 7 or 8 blokes to help us lift them out. So, yeah, look, I know other places were hiring out equipment and all that sort of stuff, but because of how unique we actually are, it's a Pilates bed with a rower inbuilt into the actual bed. So it's hard to...
I'm already confused.
Scotty, you'd be good on it, actually. I reckon you'd just come down and smash it.
I appreciate that, Duke.
But you've been
see
down
something.
At Barwon Heads and just been in the gym anyway, haven't you?
No, I've just been playing golf and walking around the beach. Life's good down there, Duke. Happy.
I'll tell you
in
what.
My cafes, I've been doing. How's Frankie, the cafe, my favourite cafe that's more newspapers and TV reports than any other cafe?
Good publicity machine, man.
Yeah, no, we're going all right. It's we've just ticked along with takeaway, but now we've got a few seats back. We're hoping to get a few more back on the weekend, but the council have been great. They've allowed us to shut off a few car parking spaces down there in Norman Avenue, and we're going to have a bit of a festival summer, if you like. I reckon it's going to be pretty special. It's a bit of live music. I think Tones and I is around the corner, so
hello.
Hopefully we can get her across the line.
I sense, Duke, that you've gravitated away from the kitchen to the gym. I sense there's been a bit of a shift since we last had you.
Well, you see, I work with my wife when I'm at the cafe, and it's... Hospitality is a tough enough thing as it is, Scotty. So, you know, if I misplace a spoon or I don't put sugar in someone's coffee, it is World War III. So I've been able to navigate my way out of that and into the gym, which has been bloody good.
Now, what about your former profession, that part-time gig as a cricketer? Have you picked up a ball? Have you done anything? Are you going to do anything? What's happening?
Yeah, I'm actually, I've got a full book this year. I'm
Catchies.
Coaching, helping out with, I'm helping out with Mount Eliza, some of their juniors and a couple of their key senior players on a Monday night, which has been awesome. And I'm bowling coach at Frankston as well. So between that and the gym, and I'm also going to play at Q with some really good mates. We've got a very good team assembled, but on the weekend we had a practice game. We lost about 18 wickets for about 60 runs. So
boys were a bit rusty.
Yeah, we were a bit rusty. We got Matty Brown, who was captain of Melbourne first last year. We got Willie Sheridan, played for the Renegades, of course. Chris Weeks was captain coach, and he played in the first grade premiership for Richmond. Chalkley, Wildsmith, you name it. So hopefully we'll have a bit of fun.
A bit of fun? You should be demolishing everyone. It's a fair
Not
lineup.
From the weekend's results. We were very, very poor. But the thing we wanted to do, we've always said, you know, after we finish up, and I had a couple of years setting up some businesses, and it's just going to be really good to get back. There's some good young kids actually down at Q. I'm really looking forward to the season and getting back around cricket clubs. It's been brilliant. Just I rolled the arm over the other day and the shoulder nearly snapped off, but I don't think I'll be bowling, that's for sure.
When are you kicking off officially?
This weekend, Plenty Valley this weekend at home at Kew. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. All the wicket tables that I've seen around the place look exceptional as well, because there's no footy being on. So
plenty of time to mow the grass.
Exactly.
Even so, down at my local at little Kerrimuir Park there, it is. It's like carpet.
That's ridiculous.
The middle wicket, I was going for a walk down there the other day, and the one of the volunteers put in the stakes up. That's always around the centre wicket area. Oh, geez, it's a good feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just know it's around the corner. It is going to be fantastic. So good luck to all the local cricketers. If you haven't started already, good luck this weekend. It's so good to see it back. Hey, Duke, the man on everyone's lips has been Will Pekoske this summer. It has been extraordinary what he's been able to produce in the first couple of games. You obviously experienced a bit of time with him at the Vics as he was coming through as a youngster. Over the last couple of days, Scotty and I are becoming very concerned.
Angry.
A lot of the talk is about leaving Joe Burns in the lineup and then... if there needs to be a change made...
Because of it chemistry, Duke. Chemistry.
Now, in all seriousness, how important is that in a cricket team? And would you be playing Pekoske on form, or would you be playing Burns on continuity?
Well, I think... I think there's a spot for both. I honestly believe that chemistry is very important in any team environment. But when you're an opening batter, they see things differently. It's, you know, they're going out there and facing blokes that bowl 145 kilometres, 150 sometimes an hour, and they've got to get through and do the team job. So openers probably more so than any other combination in cricket do have that chemistry. And I think Burns and Warner have that. They're good mates off the field. They get along well. They complement each other's games out there. But... you know, you look back in history, you had Hayden and Langer. They were exceptional mates and had a really good, formidable partnership at the top of the order. You know, Taylor, Slater, these guys, and it goes back throughout history. And you look at the Vic side when we were really strong. Chris Rogers and Nick Jewell had a seriously good relationship as well. It was different at times, but, they got along well and they do a really good job. So for me, I think, you know, Pekoske still plays. I think as a young kid coming into a side, if you've looked, I think, you know, Ponting started down at six, Michael Clarke started down at six. It's not a soft seat option. It's just a way of getting them in to the side. And, Pekoske, I've spoken about it at length before. He's a once-in-a-generational cricketer. And you can only see what he's done this year. I think he would have played last year, had all the off-field issues that he had with his concussions and how he was feeling away from the game. I think he would have played last year. So, you know, for me, he has to slot in, or whether it's six.
Who misses Duke? Head.
Well, that's Head or Wade.
Head or Wade.
Yeah. That's the decision for me you have to make. And those guys have done really well over the last few years, but I really want to see him in the lineup. Obviously, he's been opening the batting for Victoria.
Well, Chris Rogers previous year identified, and he admitted that, the coach. The new coach said, mate, I think your best bet is to get in via the opening. And I'm just concerned because, you know, they're very loyal, Langer and these types. But you tell everyone, go and make runs, Sheffield Shield. This is the way to get in, you know, blah, blah, blah. The kid makes 500 or something in five innings. Burns, I agree, has done his role, but he makes 50 in five innings. I don't think you can justify it if it comes down to him and Burns.
Yeah, that's the argument, isn't it? It's you go away and you tell these guys, go and make runs. Pekoske was making them from day one.
Yeah, anyway, but he had his issues, yeah.
Yeah, he had some issues off the field, so he has to play. Where it is, I'm not really too concerned because he's pretty versatile in a sense of where he can structure up and how he goes about his game. But, you know, if it's the top of the order, obviously he's got two double hundreds to start. So what do you do with that? He has to play. There's going to be someone that's unlucky, but he's got to play.
I'm fearful they'll do the selectors, you know, we'll just see, give Head or Wade or Burns one test.
Yep.
You know, why? Oh, I'll just see one test. And then, you know, poor Will might go off the ball. Not off the ball, but you know what I mean? One test to see how they go.
Yeah.
What if they all play well? Oh, we'll give them another test.
That's the risk they take. I think you've got to get him. I think if he's mentally right to go, which clearly he is.
Clearly
you've got to play him. You've got to play him test one.
I'm in agreement with that. Yeah, he's got a slot in somewhere. If it's Joe Burns that gets the axe, it doesn't sound like it's going to be him. There's been a big push from the top to say that synergy and that connection is good enough for them to be able to stick with him. So for me, it's going to be one of the very, very unlucky guys in Matty Wade or Travis Head.
So, well, Head's made 100, hasn't he? They all made 100s, it seemed, a couple of weeks ago.
Yep. Wade had a couple of good performances when Tasmania didn't score many runs. So he dug in a little bit. So it's a tough one because and this was another question I was going to ask of you, Duke, because we've seen they've been roads really over there in Adelaide. So is that almost an added? I think it's been good to get a form read on everyone because often. That's one of the most difficult processes because we go, oh, Pekoski's made two centuries, but he might have been batting on a road at the MCG and they may have been facing the swinging ball down in Tasmania and Matthew Wade's made a really gutsy 40 when no one else got into double figures. I think it's actually been easier to compare them, but they all have been on roads. So is that something that selectors take into account too? Because there's not exposed form on different types of tracks, which hopefully we'll get as we do, you know, each and every summer with a little bit of variance between all of the pitches around Australia.
Well, it's like trying to find a winner at Maui today when you're lining up soft and heavy and, you know, good threes and good fours. But you're right, they've been on a very level playing field, so they can't give it the old one, oh, well, he plays at the MCG every week, it's flat and it's been flat for the last 10 years. So you're right, everyone's on a level playing field. You've still got to go out and get those runs. But if everyone's on a level playing field, there's one guy that's absolutely blown the roof off the competition.
Yeah.
And there's a couple that probably have been subpar. So what does it say about that? You can go the other way and go, well, look, it is flat, but they haven't scored as many runs as we would have liked leading into the test series. So they've got some decisions at hand. But I think, and I've always said this, if you've got a very strong test team, it lets the guys that are younger do their apprenticeship. And I think that's what's happened. You've seen Cameron Green come through. He's got a game because other guys have been away on Aussie duties. If the top team's really solid in any comp, doesn't matter whether it's Mount Eliza Cricket Club or Q Cricket Club, if the ones are solid, then the rest of the club gets to learn off them and gets to do their time in the earlier grades and work their way up.
Now, I mean, you mentioned Cam Green. I feel bad. Adam White should probably ring in to ask this question. But he's in the squad. He's obviously not going to get a game straight away, but would you like to see in this three test, and where would he fit? Again, is it the Head Wade situation?
Well, this is another one because they tell me he's a better bowler than he is a batter, and that to me is just scary. You know, the guy, the kid's an absolute freak, and he's been a product of the WA being so strong over a number of years and learning off the top guys as well. But, you know, the what he's been able to do when he's come in is pretty special. If his back holds up, you know, he could be that all-rounder that we've been missing since Shane Watson. So I think that I just think it's a great inclusion into the squad. He'll learn off guys like Hazelwood, Paddy Cummins with the ball. But also you've got Steve Smith, Warner, Baba Shane that he can learn off with the bat. So it's going to be a really good exposure for him to get in there. He's probably a little while off yet. I'd love to see him get a full season under his belt with the ball. But if he's good enough to keep scoring hundreds, 150s, they're big hundreds. They're not just limping over the line. And they're normally when his team's in trouble as well. So they're really good signs for a young cricketer. I think he's a star of the future, whether he's ready this summer. Maybe not, but I want to see him as an all-rounder coming into the team.
We're going to ask Stuart Fox in about 10 or 15 minutes about whether the MCG might end up with two tests, but I've got a question for both of you and a question for the listeners as well. If the MCG does end up with the two tests, which you probably could have got a million to one 3 months ago hosting two tests in this Australian summer, if the MCG did get two tests and they move the Adelaide one, which would be a day-night fixture, and you had one ticket, and you could go to either the first ever day-night test match at the MCG before Christmas or after Christmas, the traditional Boxing Day test, which would you go to?
Well, Virat's playing the first one and not the second one. Well, so I'm going to the first one.
That's what you've got to throw into the equation. Do you want to go see King Coley bat, or do you want to go to the traditional Boxing Day test when everyone's got time off?
I want us to go see the King.
But we need to ask Foxy how many that they're actually going to be, or it looks likely to be at the MCG as well. So for me, it would be Boxing Day. I absolutely love the Boxing Day test.
Really?
As long as I can get myself out of the bull ring, it'll be fine.
Give Coley the miss this Australian summer.
Well, the thing is, Maisie, I'm scarred by bowling to him over so many years, so I don't really need to see him play that much anymore. I think the amount of times he's hit me back over my head for six, I probably can just pass on seeing him play again.
Did he ever, I know he likes to chat on the field. Did he ever give you some advice when he was whacking you over the fence?
Nah, I never had too many heated moments with Coley, actually. There was a program back in the day when we went through the cricket academy that a few of the young Indian kids would come over, and he was one of those. So I remember playing against him when we were, I would have been 19. He would have been 15 or 16, I think, coming in. Where were we? Bangalore. We had an academy tour over there, and he came in and just lit it up with Robin Utapar, who plays for Calcutta.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember playing him back then. So that's the thing. When you play against everyone in underage, you lose that bit of sting in the game later on, unfortunately.
Time for a break. 25 past 7 on your Thursday morning. On the other side of this, more cricket to come. We'll also discuss the rule changes as well, Scotty.
The Duke. Yesterday, I sense there's some...
Few were announced.
Apprehension
at,
from our man.
Head office in the footy world. We'll get the latest and also your opinions on those as well. If you've got an opinion on the three rule changes from yesterday, give us a buzz, 1300 652 927, or shoot us a text 0416 90 50 52. And which MCG test would you go to? Before Christmas to see King Coley in a day-night test at the MCG, or after Christmas, the traditional Boxing Day test against India without their star man? More after this.
There will be a reduction in the number of interchanges permitted next year. Rotations will decrease from 90 per match to 75. There will be an adjustment for the player standing on the mark. There will only be permitted minimal lateral movement on the mark. And there will be an increase in the distance for a player standing the mark from a kick-in, extended from 10 metres to 15 metres.
Rule changes happening all over the place at the moment, Scotty. AFL, cricket, you got to be
I'm
a bit confused.
Here in the end, me and the Duke and the Breaker talking about the Big Bash.
I was talking about footy because we did earmark this time. You were pumped up off the long run to start off.
I thought it was 40 minutes, not 45.
I just
so
had
I got
to
it wrong.
Hold you back. So three changes, as you heard from Steve Hocking there. So the interchange will be interesting to see if that makes players a little bit more tired. We've got the standing the mark, which I'm fascinated to actually see how that plays out in terms of shifting laterally. And then the location of the mark at the kick-in is now going to be 15 metres instead of 10. Yeah. What effect? What's going to have the greatest effect, in your opinion, on the game out of those three?
Down to 75 won't... I think clubs are already... That's not going to have a major impact. It's heading in the right direction.
75 with 20-minute quarters, though.
Yeah, no, I'm not that... They're trying to get them fatigued, but they're too clever. They're too good, these. The kicking one, I don't fully understand why an extra 5 metres is going to help the bloke wandering out of fullback. The on-the-mark has to be stationary. That's quite good, and you can't hand over the mark. So you know how a teammate, if there's an opposition player running to get, you can slide off and cover him off. So, yeah. And if there's a 50, you have to be on the mark. So that's potential, because that's become, the big thing was delay is the first version of defence. And they thought on the mark was getting a bit sort of clever. So that's the one that might, particularly if the umpires are red hot on it and just start giving away 50s, or I think that's the one.
Yeah.
What, Maisie, what's the underlying thing that they want, that they are trying to do here?
Well, the big thing with the shifting of the mark is the switching. Clearly, they want teams to be able to switch to the fat side where there's a lot more space on the ground. Yeah. That's what they want
quickening up the game.
So then they'll score more.
The rotation side of things for me, wouldn't you actually want to extend that and have the players to be nice and fresh, to be as quick as they possibly can running around? Or is it just they want to open up scoring and everyone's fatigued and there's going to be more mistakes and there's going to be more things that are going wrong out on the field?
Well, their point, Duke, is if they're faster and quicker, they're better defensively.
Yep.
The pressure goes up another notch. So
the swarm happens and no one kicks goals. So they want to slow everyone down. They also want the good players to stay on the ground, which is, you know, rest in the forward pocket, Dangerfield, Martin. So that's starting to happen. But they just want them to fatigue so it doesn't get as clumped.
Well, the sliding on the mark, I think, will be a huge benefit for switching. So I'll get used to seeing the ball ping around in the back line.
I'm happy with that.
Because the biggest effect that's going to have is when you see a player mark in, say, the left-back pocket and he's got a player out at, say, right half-back and the switch is on, often you see the person who's standing the mark say, hey, you come grab the mark, I'll cover the space that player at half-back is running into. That's now not going to be allowed. So get used to a lot of switching next year, I reckon. That's going to be a major after effect of this rule.
But one of the probably the biggest ones not happening in the AFL, but in the second tier, the zone.
What is this competition called? Thank you, Scott.
The McDonald's Kentucky Fried Chicken League or something. It's East South North Coast League.
VFL and East Coast second tier competition.
Anyway, the zone, which has been mentioned, and people that want it in the AFL now, I don't yet, but they're going to trial it, which is very clever. They've got to have a minimum of three pairs of players in each of the 250-metre arcs at boundary throw-ins and kick-ins. So that's quite... That's good.
That's revolutionary.
That is revolutionary. The way of trialing new rule changes or balls, etc., whatever it is, it's a good starting point for where they're doing it. But as far as the zones and things like that go, can you imagine that? Watching that on a Friday night,
no.
Guys going in zones from 150 years of traditional football.
You don't want that.
The toilet.
But if there's a ball up on the wing, seeing six players still in the forward 50 is not the end of the world.
No, I agree with that. I'm going to get a really good insight. Well, we will. Everyone will. Tomorrow from Rammer, because he's watched a lot of under-18 football.
Well, he's an advocate for it. He thinks it's worked in the under-18.
So I'll be fascinated to dissect what he thinks about the rule at the second-tier competition, what effect it's actually had on the game. Because, I mean, it is a different style of game at under-18 level too. So that's the other thing, Duke, that, you know, even in cricket when rules are trialled, it is different at that elite level. I mean, we saw a couple of rule changes in the Big Bash this week as well announced for the upcoming season, but it's all very well, I know they haven't trialled the Big Bash ones, but in terms of the footy ones, trialling them at VFL level, all of a sudden you go to the next level up. So say you reduce interchange at lower levels, they don't have the same fitness and elite training base as AFL level. So it's actually quite hard, don't you think, to get a gauge on... You might get some indication of what effect it'll have on the game, but they're different athletes at the top level, whatever sport you're talking about.
They're stronger, they're faster, they kick longer, or they bowl faster in cricket, the ball swings more, they're more skillful. So you really do have to trial it. Get the structures right at the younger age, or to a lesser extent, the second 11 or something like that. But then you do have to trial it at the top level as well, because, as you say, Maisie, it will be different. There's no doubt about that. You know, guys are stronger, faster and quicker, so it has to be.
Stuart Fox is about to join us from the Melbourne Cricket Club just to get a gauge on what's happening ahead of summer and the possibilities that lie ahead. But just quickly, Duke, on the Big Bash rules, we discussed them a couple of times through the week. Do you like the sub where you can... I know we spoke to Trent Woodhill about this, and he said he really loves when a player gets dragged in footy, and it's exactly what it reminds him of. So he was an advocate for that, obviously, being based at Cricket Australia now. What do you think about the Big Bash rules? And it's sort of, I felt it's all about engagement and trying to keep the fan engaged, but is it getting too complicated for the fan who might just tune in once or twice?
Well, if anyone goes to the Big Bash website, they explain what a no ball is. They explain what a stumping is, and it's very fanning. Like, you have to get the fan engaged, and you have to go onto the website and have a look. Bonus point for me, tick. It's been around for a long time. We're used to that. That's fine. I think if you can chase down a target within 10 overs, good luck to you. You know, it's going to be an entertaining game of cricket. But I've never liked the super sub. Mm-hmm. Even when we had super sub back in the Ford Ranger, I think it was back then, the one-day domestic. Cricket is a hard enough game without sitting on the pine for 3 hours, having another warm-up, going back out there and trying to make an impact on a game. Like, seriously, it's a tough gig to come in and play well anyway, let alone giving... It might only be five overs that you've got to come out and slog it or bowl a few overs or... you know, run around in the field. So I think the super sub's not, I don't really like that one. I'll never have.
You're just a grumpy bowler. You know that.
I am. Well,
there's going to be a lot more grumpy
now because you can have the batting team can just choose whenever they like to just go, all right, I'm on 60 off 20 balls here now. I can just pull in two overs and you can only have two out while I'm going to smack you and get 120. So it's a batter's game, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But no, look, it's an interesting one because I think at the start, the Big Bash was designed to re-engage with the Australian public and get new fans through the door, women and children and anyone that hasn't really seen cricket at the front line and make it fun and engaging. I just think it's complicating the situation a little bit. You've got enough rules as it is to try and get your head around rather than trying to throw another three in there.